gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mrs. Murdoch, I'm only throwing jokes at your husband. I don't have a pie. Back off, biatch. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes. I played volleyball, too. 6 minutes. Geek. After the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, and it's Wednesday.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Very exciting.
Have you ever had a woman spike someone for you, like a volleyball?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that may incriminate her.
Oh dear.
That darn statute of limitations. Most of the women in my life, bless their sweethearts, at some point have come to my defense against a mad shaving cream pie thrower.
Ah, boy. All right. What's her name? Wendy Dang.
Yeah.
Quite the spiker.
Good for
job.
Her.
Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Well, you know... Well,
all right. Hey, sexy liberal Hal Sparks. What
hey.
A night in Boston. Thank you, Boston.
Absolutely. That was a good time.
Oh, what a night at the Wilbur Theater this past Saturday. Sexy liberal show. And this one, look, the review is still coming in. In waves. Christopher from Tucson. Sorry, this is late. Just want to say thank to everybody here in Tucson at The Jolt for putting on such an amazing show. Your team was a blessing to work with. Thank you again. Still receiving calls from listeners who love the event in Tucson.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, that's how we roll. SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Lots of great pictures up from Boston, et cetera. Oh. And lots of,
some of it just...
upcoming dates. Check it out. Yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang you, Facebook. We're going to have to move these pages to Google Plus because there's no censoring.
Yeah.
I think that's what, that's, at a certain point, that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the Sexy Liberal Google Plus page.
Sure, sure.
So that we can really show... what happens.
By the way, a tribute to you, I believe you did Ruth Gordon interviewing Prince or having sex with Prince. I can't remember. In Boston.
Usually, yeah, usually kind of, yeah.
I force you whatever. Into something.
You just kind of randomly, tug out some version of her that you want immediately, right?
Yeah. Well, Chicago Tony, I don't know, has written a tribute to you. Ruth Gordon teaches Hal Sparks to play guitar, and I believe there's some 01, your band, at the end
see.
Of it.
Right.
Very
okay,
nice,
let's
yeah.
Oh, that was... Mom, let's play something together.
Let's play something.
I don't play anything.
Damn me. Everybody should be able to make some music. That's the cosmic dance. Oh, come with me. There has to be something. Just be impulsive. Be fanciful. Let the music flow out of you. You've got to make some chords. Put your finger on the second fret there. Then this one on the third. Then this one here.
All right.
Thank you, Chicago Tony.
Harold was always a quick learner.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
What's that? I'm sorry, Ruth. Okay.
If you want to sing out, sing out. Be free,
all right.
Be free.
Oh, darn it, Chris. I've made Newsbusters again.
You have.
Liberal celebrities, radio host mates, baseless jokes and accusation that Marcus Bachman is gayer than Richard Simmons. I don't think I said that.
Baseless?
No, I think it was might have been John Stewart or something that said that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Marcus is gay line has also been a regular trope of liberal talk radio from openly gay Stephanie Miller. Oh, well, how dare I?
Dun, dun, dun.
To Randy Rhodes, Stephen Ron, Jr. Reagan. On July 12th, oof, yikes, they've even got dates, Chris.
Oh, my
they
God.
They caught me now for having the audacity to suggest that he might in any way be a great big gay.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Miller took an early turn. We've been talking about, well, you know, wildly gay Marcus Bachman, among other things. And a psychologist called from Minneapolis, I remember that, who was talking about really the dark side of the reparative therapy that is causing suicides in some places. Yes, I think that wasn't so much a joke, I think. But thank you, Newsbusters, for accurately reporting what I said. And the fact that really, it's a you know, and a big kind of comedy target in that
nobody
you
cares
see a
if you're just gay.
Anti-gay. Extra crispy bucket of Christian congresswoman who is married to clearly a wildly gay man.
Mm-hmm.
Who is doing reparative therapy on gays with government money? A small government Christian congresswoman. I'm just saying, that whole kind of picture.
Who
just
also
a little
has incapacitating, stress-related
migraines from having to be subjected to show tunes
Yeah, getting
constantly
hit with
feather boas.
That's what happens. You get beat with the denial stick every day.
Yes, one might have a headache or two.
Yeah, if one, punk. Which, ow. Oh, sorry. What's that noise? It's my reality crushing up against my mental picture that I maintain so that I can operate.
Maybe
my
it occurs to
her.
It just occurs to me that I am a wildly anti-gay, small government Christian congresswoman married to a gay
punk.
Who's doing reparative therapy with government money, including Medicaid? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go figure.
Oh, God, I have a blinding headache in my eye.
Oh. I need to go lay down for 3 days.
Boy, they had lightning response to that story, didn't they?
Oh.
The Bachman camp?
Oh, yeah, well, did you...
The husband being gay thing, not so much. They didn't have much comment on that. That was... I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't look at him. Please play no YouTube videos of him walking up to me or picking out...
Or talking or being...
About, I was talking about denial recently with my psychologist friend. She's a psychologist in a maximum security prison.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's talking about talking to an inmate, and he just seems like the nicest, mild-mannered, normal guy. And he's like, my wife won't talk to me anymore. She won't take my calls or anything. I don't really know. I killed her family, but I don't really know why. She doesn't, what's up with that? Yeah.
She's in a coma. She's in a persistent vegetative state, thanks to you. Yeah, but that's no reason to pick up a phone.
Whatever.
Right.
Just saying, it might cause a headache or two.
Mm-hmm.
Migraine now and again. All right, yeah, she has a lightning response. Republican presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann's quick move to squelch concerns about her history of severe debilitating headaches contrast to slower and more muted reaction in recent weeks to other uncomfortable news.
Uh-huh.
You know, the unpleasantness about, Marcus being a big
gay. The recent unpleasantness.
That one, the recent unpleasantness. Hours after report that she has been incapacitated in the past due to migraine headaches, Bachmann's spokeswoman fired back. Let me be abundantly clear, my ability to function effectively has never been impeded by migraines and will not affect my ability to serve as commander. And clang, clang, clang goes the Marcus! Ow! God, that headache is back!
It's all stress-related. So
you think?
Don't worry, there won't be any stress in my life as president.
The president is the most stress-free job in the world.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. You guys talk amongst yourself. I need a prop. Okay, hang on.
Uh-oh, she's reaching. Do you have a...
Go ahead. Okay.
Do you have some prescription migraine meds?
Yeah, I'm getting to this part. I needed a prop.
Yeah.
Okay. Bachmann said her symptoms are controlled with prescription medication and have not gotten in the way of her campaign or impaired her service in Congress. So I'm just saying, as soon as the show's tunes start...
Which, sorry?
The show tune. As soon as the show tunes start, I'm just saying.
Oh.
I think she has at the ready.
There's no business like show business.
Baby Jesus, jungle. Please help me.
Clang, clang, clang goes
please
the trolley.
Please play Mama the Advil.
Ding, dong, ding goes the bell.
Oh, baby Jesus, please.
Look how small this swimsuit is. Do you think
Baby Jesus, please let them make bigger head bills.
I'm heading down to the public pool. See you in a little while.
Clang, clang goes the trolley. Thank you. That was Stephanie Miller player.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doing the
I'll
Marcus
this at the ready today.
Bonnet around the house in a Speedo singing show tunes. Well,
I wonder how big Michelle Bachmann's jug of migraine pills is.
I think it's probably
a garbage can full of.
Well, here's the thing. Clearly, that piece, by the way, is run in the Caller. That was a Tucker Bowties.
Tucker Carlson's
site. And that's he's linked with Karl Rove, I think, at that site too. I think they play footsie at that site.
Yeah.
And that's clearly because she's pushing too far up too quickly, and she's not their choice. So this is, they're putting this piece out, so she has to deal with this to try and torpedo her rise.
I thought it was really strange that a conservative site like that would put up a total hit piece like that.
No, it's exactly
because I think behind closed doors, they're like, she's crazy. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be president.
If she were president, the safest I would feel is during the day she was incapacitated.
Yes.
Laying down, unable to talk to anybody or give any instructions.
The baby Jesus wouldn't tell her to blow something up that day.
Can you just, Madam President, can you lift your finger to the nuclear suitcase?
Right.
You know what? Okay, we're going to need your tech. Okay,
Jesus,
well, three, two.
Thud. That's honestly.
I saw the dead zone. I know how that ends.
Totally.
That's exactly.
The missiles are away.
She will rouse herself only enough to talk to God as if you were a toddler.
Lord, the day is at hand.
No, it isn't.
We are in the last days.
No, we're not.
You are Jehovah God.
You're Jehovah God.
Who's the God of Jehovah God?
Get off the couch. Not when there's company.
Get the
Don't lick yourself in front of company, Jehovah God.
Oh dear. Oh, dear.
She wasn't actually talking to her. That was actually a tape of her talking to her pets.
Yes.
She names Jehovah Cat.
Chris and enjoyed that yesterday, the Bachman household. Guys, the Stephanie Miller sketch about the goings-on in the Bachman household had me laughing so hard I had tears running down my face. The split screen of what's going on in Michelle's Pray to the Lord Jehovah Baby Jesus room versus what's going on in Marcus Chotutin's room was hilarious. By the way, the various and sundry rooms in the Bachman household must be like the Aaron Spelling mansion on crack.
Yeah.
Yes, I pictured her, you know, as he's in his other East Chotun room,
yeah.
Which I'm sure he...
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley.
Oh, Jehovah God, please.
Ding, dong, ding goes the bell.
Jehovah God. Here, Jehovah God.
Come here. A tambourine. I found a tambourine.
Bring over the tambourine pills. Jehovah God. Dear God, please pray the gay away from my husband.
Okay.
This thing, right. You know, you can wear this jacket.
Step ball change.
This jacket really is reversible.
Oh! There are not enough migraine pills in the world.
You know, when Newsbusters accuses you of doing something to Marcus Bachman, you just go
double down.
I pole vault right now.
Absolutely.
Write that down.
Yeah.
We might even send you the audio for that one, Newsbusters.
Take the Ustream video of me playing with the Advil bottle. How about that? I'm using them like maracas. Woo!
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Well, that's comedy. Not like Family Leader's Bob Vanderplatz kind of comedy.
Oh, that's
comedy.
Funny stuff.
Yeah. He will, we have audio. It's hard to tell, but hard to hear it, but it's him laughing at the F word for gay man jokes. Yeah. It's jokes about... We will tell you. That's the kind of humor on the right they got going over there. Wait till you hear it. It's hilarious.
Pretty good.
We'll tell you what that is as we continue. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal.
Thank
on
you.
On the Stephanie Miller Show. And we'll be back.
What?
Now,
hold on.
A story, but I'll just do sexy music. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I like it.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. The rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky, coming up next. Oh, she had to debate that weed. What's his name? Joe Walsh? Ugh. Hate that douche nozzle.
Oh, yeah.
He's so unpleasant.
The new guy from Illinois.
Oh, he just wants to tell us, nasty Ellis, Chris Matthews. Last head in. Okay. Well, just irritates me. He's just unnecessarily nasty and combative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know that they consider it, unnecessary. This is they're on the front lines of their ideology right now. They want the complete dismantling of government.
Yeah.
And this...
You can see him high-fiving with his other... Tea party ass hats.
Yeah.
Good job. You showed that. Chris Matthews.
Yeah,
okay. Tony in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Steph, you homewrecker.
What did I do now?
Uh-oh.
I deny it. I was drunk. What? Chardonnay. I don't know. Huh?
Well, I've been listening to you since before you had Steph guest. That's how far back
my
I
goodness.
Go. Wow. And Saturday, I was at the show Saturday.
Sexy liberal.
Yep. I had a picture taken with you and I, which I sent to my girlfriend, the naughty nurse, Jocelyn.
Yes.
Well, she'd always referred to you as my girlfriend because I would tell her stuff that happened on the show and play bits for her and stuff.
Sure.
And so I sent her this picture, and she didn't recognize you. She thought you were just some random hottie that I came across. And I sent the picture, and the subject was... your competition.
Oh, no.
She took it seriously, and she stopped talking to me. She won't answer the phone.
Oh no way.
My tweets. I'm not kidding you.
Wait, she recognize me? Can't you send her a picture of me from somewhere else?
I sent her a text message that said, you do know that was a picture of Stephanie Miller, don't you?
Should we give her a call?
Yeah, let's give her a call.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Or if you could just send a message telling her that actually you're playing for the other team and you probably wouldn't be interested in me anyway.
Yeah. So the future husband's really always fictional anyway. What you silly wabbit?
A quick message to the naughty nurse Jocelyn would help out a lot.
Well, all right. Should we put him on hold and have Rebecca? All right,
Rebecca,
hang on.
Get his number. Get her number.
Yeah. What's her name? Jocelyn. Okay. All right, Tony. I'm sorry. We'll get this all fixed up.
Holy smokes!
God,
that's hilarious.
Wow, my picture was on a like football stadium size on the Wilbur Theater.
On an LCD screen, yeah, or LED.
Okay. Yeah. Yikes. All right. So speaking of comedy, everybody.
Comedy.
Wow. So the family leader. That's that religious right
group.
Yeah.
That they're making everybody sign the pledge, which Michelle Bachmann signed. The thing that, you know, the pro-slavery thing.
Yeah.
Anti-gay
Santorum
pro-slavery.
Santorum signed it, Slew. Signed it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Ironically, it also bans Sharia law as one of their little attachments. One of the big tenets of Sharia law, anti-homosexual. Mm. Is saying.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob Vanderplatt is the head of that group.
Good.
Yeah. In the new video footage obtained by Think Progress, he goes even further in cementing his strong dislike for gay people. So we can't really understand this.
Yeah, it's a bad recording, but
okay. I'll have Hal Sparks just read this script as he's a well-known actor.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Here you go. Let's see. You know what my wife says? She says, Iowa, the state where you can't smoke a fag, but you can marry one. And then they all chortle. And Vanderplatt says, oh, shoot. That's pretty good. Oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
He'll laugh at calling gay people fags, but he won't say...
Oh, shoot.
He'll say shoot.
Shoot. That is funny.
Very important distinction.
Yeah, well, he's not going to swear, because God doesn't like that.
No.
But God obviously loves the fag jokes.
The hatred of the...
Yeah. Almost. Well, by the way, no one is shocked that guy thinks that kind of stuff is funny. No one is shocked that in secret he laughs about these kind of things. And no one would be shocked when he gets caught on tape making jokes about women either. None of these guys are you know, anti-gay and not also anti-woman at the same time. He's a monk of the first order.
Yeah. By the way, in completely unrelated news, Senator Dianne Feinstein has announced a bill that would end the Defense of Marriage Act. The White House has said it has backed the new Respect for Marriage Act.
Yep.
To which we say,
we have Jay Carney announcing that.
Hello.
I can tell you that the president has long called for a legislative repeal of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, which continues to have a real impact on the lives of real people, our families, friends, and neighbors. He is proud to support the Respect for Marriage Act, introduced by Senator Feinstein and Congressman Nadler, which would take DOMA off the books once and for all. This legislation would uphold the principle that the federal government should not deny gay and lesbian couples the same rights and legal protections as straight couples.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the president...
Just a little compare and contrast there for you.
Uh-huh.
For those of you progressives, thinks president isn't quite, you know, moving quick enough on stuff, you get on that side the...
Yeah, evolution has never moved that quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Jan Schakowsky. Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Made mistakes. I once French kissed a dog at a party to try to impress what turned out to be a very tall 12-year-old.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president gave his endorsement yesterday to a deficit reduction plan offered by a bipartisan group of six senators, urging them to use that as a blueprint for a bill he can sign into law before the August 2nd debt limit deadline that the Republicans say really isn't a deadline. He just made it up because it's near his Ramadan birthday.
Whatever.
Okay, let's talk to somebody in the reality-based world, the rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky. Good morning, Representative.
Morning, Stephanie.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm in a kind of a loony bin here in Washington. But,
I see you had to debate the delightful Joe Walsh, one of my personal favorites.
Oh, my.
Is it me, or is he just unnecessarily combative and kind of...
Well, the funny thing is, you know, he gets on the air, and he's really angry, and then afterwards, it's like, well, have a great weekend, Jan. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like this is the show. You wind him up. And he does this, and
right.
I'm really struggling with whether he really believes what he's saying. You know, he ran as a moderate Republican for state senate in Illinois.
Right.
One time.
Well,
so
I don't know. I don't know if you saw him on Hardball yesterday, but I mean, this is where I feel your pain. Like, you know, congresspeople like you that are really, I think, looking for real solutions and how to figure this out. He just seems like he's showing off for his friends, you know, like what a jerk he can be to Chris Matthews and how combative he can seem. And it just,
right.
I mean, at some point, you just go, you know, we have got to solve this. The polls are hugely on our side. People want us to solve this, to compromise
right.
and solve this, right? I mean, and
right.
71% are opposed to the way the Republicans are handling this. That's got to
right.
give you some hope, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I spent about 2 hours on the floor yesterday waiting to speak, and there's like this little gang of guys who are like, it really felt like junior high school, you know, kind of snickering and giggling and laughing and smiling real. And it was really hard to watch and listen to.
Well, so where are we at today in your opinion on, you know, what's happening?
Well,
in
here's what I'm hoping is that we go back to the idea, because there is not really the time to do this major overhaul that includes the tax code and, you know, solving
right.
the whole debt and deficit problem for the next 10 years, which, you know, we can have that conversation, but not before we solve this default crisis that's coming up. So I'm hoping that we hear more about this kind of McConnell plan that allows the debt ceiling to go up. Really, you know, we're the only country in the world that doesn't do this on a perfunctory basis.
Well, we always have before, really. I mean, it's never even been a story, has it?
Well, actually once, and we have some evidence then, because in 1979 there was a technical default. There was game playing, and it was like 5 minutes too late to actually resolve the problem. Interest rates went up 0.66% and stayed there. And they solved the problem in like a day or two.
Mm.
So there will be, guys, hello,
yeah.
real consequences.
Yeah.
This is arithmetic. This
yeah.
is not theory. And so we have some experience with that. But 7 times in the 8 years of the Bush administration, even though we didn't like the tax cuts for the rich and the 2 unpaid for wars, et cetera, because you have to do it. You have to pay your bills.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. If you don't think this has real consequences, try it with your household. See how that
yeah.
works out for you. What do you make of Bill Clinton's talking about the constitutional option on the president just doing it, just, you know, bypassing Congress? I mean, obviously there's some dispute on whether that's constitutional. Bill Clinton says the 14th Amendment states the validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned.
Right. I've been listening to lawyers about that. Clearly, I think, because an emergency would be created, that afterward, you know, if there were real consequences, I think there's little disagreement that to save the nation, that he could then raise the debt ceiling. I guess the question is whether or not you have to wait for something terrible to happen. At least I think that it ought to be an arrow in his quiver. That's always a clever
yes.
arrow in the quiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he ought to say that's something that he would do, because, you know, this is not even just the total United States economy, but really the whole world hinges on the full faith and credit of the United States of America and our bonds and the integrity of those bonds. You know, bad enough that the Social Security checks may not go out, et cetera.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm looking at this, it's NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll. Strong majorities, obviously, want political leaders to compromise. Strong majorities of Democrats and independents, which I think are key, prefer that Democratic congressional leaders make compromises. Almost 70% of independents want Republican leaders to do the same. 6 in 10 favor President Obama's proposal to lower the deficit by $4 trillion, with the combination, obviously, of tax, revenue and the cuts.
By
compare, here's the, you know, by comparison, only about a third of respondents prefer the House Republicans' proposal to cut just a loan with no new revenues, yada, yada. There's one hurdle to this compromise, and this is what you deal with every day. A majority of Republicans and nearly two-thirds of Tea Party supporters want Republican leaders to hold their ground. So,
you know, there's also a backstory that is the fight for speakership between John Boehner and Eric Cantor.
Right.
And it's really sad that it appears that John Boehner may be putting his position in the House in front of the welfare of the entire nation. And it's really scary that Eric Cantor would risk this catastrophe in order to battle for, to move up in leadership in the House of Representatives. But that is a reality. There is that level
and
of politics.
And it seems, Congresswoman, that they're just going even further to the right. This Republican cut cap and balance plan, I mean, it's more extreme than Paul Ryan's plan. It would require a 25% cut in every government program. I mean, this would be take us to the level of 1966. No president in the last 50 years, including Reagan, has proposed a budget with spending that low.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This would be, it would be impossible. It's unworkable. It cannot happen. When you set a cap of 18% of the gross domestic product can be in spending, I mean, this gets a little wonky. But we haven't set spending cap. We haven't seen spending at that level since before Medicare and Medicaid was enacted, and we had 100 million less people in the country. It cannot be done without changing the face of the United States of America. So it's unrecognizable.
Right. Well, how do you even negotiate when you can't even agree that there's a deadline? Daryl Issa just said the debt deadline's an artificial date Obama's using to extort a deal from Congress. I mean, it's like we're on a train track and the train's coming and you're like, no, it's not. It's not going to hit you that soon.
I know. Yeah, I know.
There's
definitely this level of irrationality. You know, I hesitate to say totally crazy, but that's what it is. That really is dangerous. See, that's the problem. When you're dealing with people that will not, we can't even agree on this basic fact that there are devastating consequences. That's a very dangerous situation that we're in. I still have to believe that at the end, because we're seeing some movement, at least on the Senate side, that understands that we have to raise the debt ceiling, that at the end it may be pulled out. But how late is too late? You know, when do the markets really start to react? People lose a ton of money, and interest rates start to creep up. And Moody says that no longer to put money. Don't invest in American bonds because they're not a good investment. I don't know. This is not a game. One of my Republican colleagues actually came over to the House side and said, this is showbiz. I said, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, not to people that aren't going to have their Social Security checks. I mean, you were one of the only people that talked about the 46th anniversary of the Older Americans Act.
Right.
That's the real concept. That's my mom that won't get her Social Security or Medicare,
And it's not just that. Kathy Hochul, the woman who is now my colleague, won in New York 26, said, American people, when their household budget is in trouble, they sit down and, yes, they talk about, let's take our lunch to work, let's ride to mass transportation, we'll postpone the vacation. We don't say, let's not feed grandma and let's not give her medication.
Yeah.
And those are now the options that they have seriously put on the table. That's what you get with the Older Americans Act.
Yeah, yeah.
Meals
Wheels. All of us that have, the deal in the real world with those real problems. I mean, my mom is 87. She has breast cancer. She is on, the hormone pills after the radiation treatment and all that.
Yeah.
You know how it is already now. You have to wait for the insurance, to be able to, they're hugely expensive pills. And,
yeah.
I mean, there are real consequences to going, well, you can't pay for that now, so you can't get the pills until the end of, and it's stunning that they want to play games with people's actual lives like that.
I mean, it really, you know, this debate is so at the heart of who are we as a country after all. You know, I mean, I think we have to invoke patriotism here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is about the United States of America, the richest country in the world. You can pull in the faith community. Aren't we all told to honor our father and our mother? That's one of the Ten Commandments. And they are willing to say, well, you know, we don't have the money, so what are you going to do? We're going to have to cut these programs. Not right.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Jan Schakowsky, you always make me feel a little better in a gloomy, gloomy...
We're going to keep fighting.
Yeah, I know.
And you too. I know you will.
I know. We always feel better, you know, that you're in the trenches fighting for us and keeping us updated. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
Stephanie, thank you.
All right. Representative Jan Schakowsky,
who's had to deal with Joe Walsh.
See, it is. That's what she was saying. You and I know this, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, it is show business for them.
It is.
How many right-wingers do I have been on TV? They're complete weeds on TV.
Yeah.
And then they get off air and they're like the nicest people to be. Hey, okay, step right to speak.
Absolutely.
Like, this isn't a game. I actually believe what I say and what I'm, you know, advocating for. And so does people like, you know, Jan Schakowsky. But that's what I mean. Like this Joe Walsh, these guys. It's showbiz.
I used to work.
Let's go, hey, look what a douche nozzle I was to Chris Matthews. Ha ha.
I used to work with a host in Phoenix that would sit down with his producer before every show and say, okay, what position should I take today?
Yeah.
Instead of arguing from his heart.
Core principles?
Right.
Yeah.
What about Tom Likas?
Iraq.
I used to be left wing till there was more money in right wing. Then I was right wing. There was
more
money
in
left wing.
And boobies.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
That
wasn't nice. 46. I just saw him at a radio conference.
You have to see Tom Likas, so.
All right. Thanks, Tom. 40.
Tom Likas. It's true.
40.
What he sounds like.
It is.
I don't know how he got dragged into this. He's not a right-wing host. Anyway, 46.
Well, when there's money in it, yes, he is.
All right.
Yeah, he is. That's the amazing. Because, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's the point. He does. He's not one. Yeah.
All right. 46.
Limbaugh had Elton John perform it.
All right. 46. Blah. Yeah, we're right back.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
On saxophone, Hal Sparks.
Air sax. He's on air sax. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51.
Sorry.
Boy, minutes
I'm fine.
After the hour.
Wow, I didn't know.
Second instrument was saxophone.
Zoinks.
Was it?
Yep. Fiddle was my first.
Oh, you can take the boy out of Kentucky.
You cannot take Kentucky
out
of the boy.
My mom sent me to violin lessons, and my dad wouldn't let him call it a violin. You are studying fiddle.
Studying fiddle, boy.
You are
You're
taking
from the South.
Fiddle.
You the devil is
sounds,
due.
Yeah.
All right.
What happened at school today? Why are you crying? We played fiddle. I don't want to play fiddle anymore. It happens behind the barn.
Anyways, just sounds awful. God. But that was my first instrument, fiddle, and then saxophone, and then...
Why do I just the entire Charlie Daniels song goes through my head, the whole devil went down the...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I would like to say for the record, though, that...
You play a pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due.
Due, yeah.
I bet it'll...
Fiddle of gold against your soul. Think I'm better than you. That's a guitar.
Sorry, that's guitar.
That's a guitar playing dueling banjos. That's the...
Yeah.
That
well, there's a
fixed.
Banjo that's dueling with the guitar.
No. Dueling banjos is two banjos playing against each other. That's why it's dueling banjos.
It's some guitar sound that only the devil can make that goes...
Do I have... You know, I hated this song until the devil's music started. This should give you some indication. Which, by the way...
That's what I mean.
The devil was actually better,
guitar.
In my opinion.
Yeah. By the way, the devil music... is the theme to Wonder Woman.
Stephanie Miller was looking for a soul to steal. If you buy one, she was way behind.
That bow now 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 bass line?
Yep.
That's what they play when she spins.
Oh, God, you're right. Oh, my God.
Wonder Woman. Sit down on that right
See?
There.
Charlie Daniels stole the Wonder Woman theme to make the devil's music.
Which is where she twirls around with the bracelets, deflecting bullets.
About the same
bullets.
Time.
Yeah, so which came first, Wonder Woman or the devil's music?
I'm going to go with Wonder Woman.
What? Okay. All right, that's a little... We just go off
You're
the rails
welcome.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Don't know how that...
Yeah. I parallel tracks
Speaking
off the
of the devil is due, this is the most humble day of Rupert Murdoch's life.
Before you get to that, I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
This is the most humble day of my life.
He looked like a doddering old man up there.
He is.
I know he is. But
by the way, did you see the Fox Chiron? They helpfully had all his Murdoch's talking points as if it were
I'm
news.
I'm a good person.
I'm a good person.
Right. Rupert Murdoch is a good person.
The Manchurian candidate typist is working with him at all times.
So for the testimony of James and Rupert Murdoch, it was covered, of course, by all the major networks, including Fox News. While other networks, Chirons are displaying the news, you know, mm-hmm. it's actually being asked and answered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fox is basically just comically repeated, like, I see four screen captures here.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch, we were 100% cooperative with the investigation. Rupert Murdoch, I employ over 53,000 people around the world. James Murdoch, this is a matter of huge sincere regret. James Murdoch, to my knowledge, certain things were not known.
Certain things were not known.
And Fox just on the Chiron just reported it like news. Just that's what the story is. It's whatever they're saying.
Well, to be completely fair, the Fox News feed that goes along the bottom of the screen actually comes out of a drip that comes out of Steve Doocy's brainstem.
Really? Really?
That is directly...
Excess Doocy?
It's caused by the ray that they point at his forehead that inserts that information in the first place. And they check purity
it's
of message
like that
way.
It's sort of like that goop in Ghostbusters.
Totally. It's the
goo
sludge that was under
in the
seat.
Box. Yeah. They're keeping it in the
he
box.
He slimed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Steve Doocy. He slimed
me. I think that frankly...
Frankly,
I'm the best person to clean this up.
Yes, sure. It's like a.
I like the frankly. Like, I'm the best person.
What's his name? Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm the best. I know where all the parts are in the body.
Right.
I'm the best one to clean this up.
I'm
know which freezer what's in and how to.
I have no intention of doing that. I'm the best person to clear this up, but I'm not going to. Because quite frankly, I'm melting. But,
who is this Nimrod with the pie plate? You know his name is? Johnny Marbles! Never mind.
He's a comedian.
I bet you did a morning zoo. Johnny Marbles.
A British morning
Johnny
zoo.
Johnny Marbles in the morning, everybody.
What would a British morning zoo sound like?
It's Johnny Marbles in the morning!
Oi, who wants a fart joke? Hey, hey, hey! Thanks.
The suspected
scummy.
Pie or foam thrower who took a slug from ninja-like Murdoch wife Wendy Dang. Hee-wah! Oh, she looked like who's the is it who's the one in Charlie's Angels?
Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu.
Oh.
Yeah. Has been identified as a comedian goes by the Jolly Marbles. Johnny Marbles. Oh, and they felt it necessary to say it's not the real name of this writer, comedian, activist, blogger. Really?
Couldn't have told.
Now he's born normal. Then he lost his marbles.
Oh, whackity-smackity-doo.
Vanity Fair wrote, this guy made Murdoch Sr. look vulnerable and sympathetic and Wendy heroic. Well done, fool.
Yeah. Thanks.
In related news, he's taking Glenn Beck's spot on the network.
Yes. He tweeted to his followers, it's a far better thing I do than I've ever done before. Splat. Splat.
Hashtag splat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is it, the MP there said, Mr. Murdoch, your wife has a very good left hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, she's fierce.
She is.
Not going to question
And 40 them. Years his
yeah.
junior.
Yeah. Well, that's why you want a young, springy wife like that. Just wing! Woohoo! You! Just saying. It's not a bad thing to have. Rupert Murdoch.
I was... absolutely shocked, appalled,
shocked.
And ashamed.
That we were caught. Gambling?
When I heard
what?
About the Millie Dollar case.
Shocked.
I was completely shocked that we were caught. I thought we'd paid all the right people. I don't understand. What's all this other press they have over there in Great Britain? Apparently they have other newspapers and other news outlets that can report on us.
All
How
right.
did I fix that? I'm supposed to... I bought all right. them all so they couldn't talk about me.
Minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Blimey.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Feel good because it's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Thank you, Boston! We had a great time at Sexy Liberal in Boston. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Hal Sparks is going to Edinburgh next month.
Yes.
But he'll be back. He'll be doing his fabulous, his own bad show in Edinburgh. See Hal Sparks.
It's called, you have to name your show when you do it over there. Yeah. You know, they really want it to be so it's called Evolution Overdrive. Which I'm very excited about.
Awesome.
Yes. And I'm in Austin tonight for the podcast listeners, the Stephcast listeners.
Awesome.
Tonight through Sunday.
Awesome. All right.
Or Saturday.
And then Sexy Liberal rolls on. Aisha Tyler joins the tour for Santa Fe, Saturday, August 6th, and Detroit, Saturday, August 20th. And then tons more dates coming up again in the fall. So check it out, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Get it. Go. Eric in Ohio writes, Steph, you played audio of Herman Cain saying that Mitt Romney can't win in the South because he's a Mormon. And Cain went on to say he knows the South and thus would be able to win there. I don't think Cain knows the South as well as he thinks. How can I say this delicately in case Herman Cain hasn't noticed? He's black.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a problem with Mormons down there.
He knows Jesus.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus.
Oh, no, hang on. Not that one. Not that one. Today, by the way, today in Michelle Bachmann's History of America, Stretch Armstrong and Buzz Lightyear become the first men to walk on the moon.
Oh.
Yes, I'm sure she is.
That was an important moment in American history.
I thought it was Louis Armstrong.
They both know Jesus, though.
I must tell Jesus. Jesus.
He's got some messages. To pick up coffee at the store.
I need my dry cleaning. I cannot bear.
To bang on this piano anymore.
So I hired John Tesh to do it for me.
John Tesh on piano. All right.
Lord, won't you find me some better domain?
Yeah, that and Michelle Bachmann talking to God as if he's either a puppy or a toddler.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, we are in the last days.
You are Jehovah God.
Oh, you hate some romantic Jehovah God.
Who's a cute Jehovah dog? Who's a Jehovah dog? Get up here. Get off the couch, Jehovah God. No, not when company's here. Get off the couch, Jehovah
God. On the paper. On the paper, Jehovah God.
On the paper. On the paper, Jehovah God. Mommy's going to have to hit Jehovah God in the butt with a rolled-up newspaper. Oh, Jehovah God. No, Jehovah God.
All right.
No, get off his leg.
All
bad
right,
Jehovah
now.
God. Settle down.
Yes, Eric sent us some mic. It does remind me of the praying in Talladega Nights.
Yes.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, hey Zeus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and always delicious Taco Bell.
Thank you, Joe.
I noticed he didn't mention Godfather Pizza.
No, because that sucks.
I must tell Jesus. We now have cheese inside the crust. I must tell Jesus.
I need four cheeses on my pizza.
That used to be I need four cheeses was his actual. He converted that to a hymn later.
All right. By the way, Mom on the road
That's
again,
Marcus
too.
That's what Bachman is trying to do. Convert people to a hymn. You're him. You were he, she, now you're a him.
I must be
Jim,
Jesus.
We can't. Newsbusters busted me for mentioning that Marcus Bachman might be
super gay?
A little bit.
June is busting out all over.
Oh, God. Bring in my migraine pill. Jehovah God, please. Why can't I pray the gay on Marcus?
Let me poke your head in a cold...
God, if I have to hear the soundtrack from Wicked one more time, there are going to be enough migraine pills in the world. Marcus,
no!
Shut up!
Dolph played a leg, Jehovah Dog. Bad Jehovah Dog.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall in the Bachman household. Just be like magic. All right. Hey, Mama's on the road, too. I haven't done sexy liberal-related travel in quite some time.
That's true.
The AM 1090 Seattle Forum with all the Dennis Kucinich, Randy
awesome.
Rhodes, Mike Papantonio, Norman Goldman, Mike Malloy, Ron Reagan. We're doing the big... So go to AM 1090 Seattle. Is that it? .com. That's right. For tickets to the big thing this
Saturday. The big thing.
Picture Dennis Kucinich juggling chainsaws or something.
I wonder if he'll do the teabagging demonstration with me.
Don't think so.
I haven't been used to being on the road without the Sexy Liberal Show in a while. I'm not sure how to behave around normal people.
I love me some Dennis Kucinich, but I will sue for breach of promise.
It's your copyright.
Yeah. Nobody else teabags.
There's always one of these stories right before I fly.
For business.
Inebriated air traffic controller, Denver employee sent to a rehab. A 25-year veteran Denver air traffic controller recently removed from duty after he tested positive for alcohol.
Denver, do we have a runway clear for 29 or something? Denver? Hello, Denver?
I don't know.
Are we clear? Are we clear for a plane?
I got a call from my dad.
Can you give me a runway, please?
Hey,
a compass
baby.
Something.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Oh.
Turn around, do that mouth cover thing.
Right.
I'll use you as a flotation device. I'm just messing with you. Shut the pilot door, Harris.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. I think.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's always fun. Hey, here's a woman with a worse substance abuse problem than me. I like these stories. Pregnant woman craves furniture polish.
What?
Pregnant woman has revealed that she has a craving for furniture polish. Her doctor diagnosed her with PICA. It's an eating disorder that causes abnormal appetite for non-nutritive items.
Yeah.
She said, I normally spray a bit on my fingers and lick it off, or I spray a bit on the duster and then suck it.
Suck it.
Suck it. Suck my duster.
You know, one of my favorite side effects of Prozac is taste perversion, which is a similar, it's the same thing. Taste perversion.
Like, yeah.
I know I'm eating cheesecake, but it tastes like leather panties. Taste perversion.
She said, I wish someone could help me stop. I don't want to be eating it in my 50s. Yeah, that's when you know you're a loser. I mean, 40s is fine, but if you're still eating furniture polish in your 50s,
that is
loser.
My 30s. Or lost.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It ends
furniture it's totally.
It's like I call it the lemon pledge decade.
On a nice iced tea with a spritz of lemon pledge across the top of it. Oh.
I just had some this morning.
I think this power bar is made of clay.
Yeah, right.
Fortunately, I have pica, and I find it delicious.
Yes. You've got the same dietary needs as a macaw. There's Jim over there gnawing on his...
Shiny things.
Bill in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Look, I just want to say I'm really scared that the capitulator in chief is going to end up undercutting the Democrats, negotiating something on Social Security and Medicare. I mean, I really hope that Nancy Pelosi is sitting in those meetings because I know she got a bigger pair than him and that she won't let us down. It seems to me that Obama, he doesn't care about fighting for nothing, or probably only Sasha and Malia. If it's got something to do with Sasha and Malia, he might care about. But, you know, when it comes to the people, it doesn't seem like he cares enough to fight for us about anything.
Okay.
First of all, he used his first veto threat on the cap.
Cut crap and crap
and,
deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Destroy.
Yes.
You guys are willing to settle for basically nothing. You know, it's like he sank Barack from the church of perpetual do no wrong. To me, what he's going to end up doing is negotiating Social Security and Medicare. And it's, what's going to happen is that's going to take away an issue for the Democrats. I mean, why should we turn out
so
to vote Democratic?
Bill, how would you get, just to answer me one thing, how would you get this done? How would you get this done if you were him, up against this Republican majority in the House? And
I would go on and they say that he can use the 14th Amendment to raise the debt ceiling. Then go on and do that.
Right. Some people like Bill Clinton think you can do that. Some people think that you can't, constitutional scholars. So
I'm just tired of him capitulating on everything. He doesn't fight for nothing.
Really? So how do we got, don't ask, don't tell, overturn. We got health care done.
The Republicans know that they're going to wait to the last minute and then push some crap up there. And he's going to be willing to sign it because he's just willing to sign anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? When they was talking in the early part, they were talking about how he was a Manchurian candidate and that he was for the Arabs or whatever. No, he's a Manchurian candidate, but he's a Republican. That's what he has. He's Republican-like.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because every Republican president over the last decade has tried to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, has put women up and the first Latina up for the Supreme Court. No, I'm just telling you the facts of this. You can't accuse me. of erasing the negative when you erase all the positive.
That's exactly it. There's no middle here, really.
Well, you know what? They can keep running this. It's a big difference between him and the Republicans. But if he always caves into them, for me, you know what?
Well, here's a good example.
He doesn't always cave in.
I'm willing to take significant pressure from my base. I'm tired of him taking heat from his base. How about doing something that his base wants him to do?
Well, I signed an executive order closing Guantanamo Bay, and what happened? The duly representative in the Congress halted the ability to transfer prisoners to the United States and defunded all of it.
They're going
to
fight them. You know, they're going to fight them. But you got to stand up and fight them.
Well, he did. No, look, you can. He did everything within his power. The rest of it is up to the Congress.
I wasted my damn vote voting for Obama.
All right, Bill. All right, Bill. Show us on the doll where the capitulator touched you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where you even start with, you know, most economists saying he pulled us back from the brink of a depression with the stimulus, the auto bailout, spectacular success. We got health care done. Is everything perfect? No, we got Tonet's Hotel overtime. There's a website that's gone up that's hundreds of accomplishments that you just, and you're exactly right. You can't, there's not like, there's no negative. It's just people magically erase any positive that's happened.
Well, you know, for example, and I talked about this in Boston this weekend, was that there are 55,000 fewer homeless vets this year than there were last year because the Obama administration made a goal to end veteran homelessness by 2015, and they are on track to do that very thing. When's the last president you heard that even made that a priority or did anything about it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, zero. Yeah. Not Carter, not Clinton, not Bush, one or two, not Reagan, not Nixon, not...
But you never hear about stuff like that, though. That's
and the other
so
thing is, you don't... I mean, you
radar.
Hear... You don't,
right.
Do you remember people talking about jobs when George Bush was losing 700,000 of them a month? And now we're gaining, not at the pace we want to, but it really is incredible.
Right.
Anyway. All right.
Well, the idea is people want him to stand up and lose. They literally want to see the act of him arguing a point viciously, ferociously, forwardly,
right,
and not get it, to show that he was fighting for something. Because that's the case. Everything that guy is asking for is that we lose what we've got.
But what would have happened if he had said that Social Security and Medicare are off the table? They're not negotiable. What do you think would have happened?
I think we'd be 2 weeks from the deadline and still no deal. I think we're exactly
with these guys,
where we are.
Right? Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. 19 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Public indecency? We weren't really doing it. We were just acting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kathy in L.A. with a response to our last caller. Hi, Kath.
Hey, just wanted to say that anytime any of those black men call up, be talking about they can't stand Barack and he ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know what's happening?
What's that?
Okay, what's happening is that their woman has told them that Barack is fine and they would sleep with him any time and they want him, and that's what's going on. Jealousy.
It's a hater. He's being a player hater.
That's exactly it.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Wow.
All right. You know.
They get their paid talking points crowd because they're, they're phone banking people now. That's fun.
Yeah.
Not
exactly.
That, he may be sincere in what he believes. I just think he's picking and choosing what he's, what matters to him and what's getting accomplished. And he wants the roof on the building before the walls are built. And that's the big problem with us.
Huh? Brian and Charlotte,
it's
you're on. I get it. I get it. I know
It'll
I
collapse.
Said it's a good enough. I get it. No, I've just never heard it before.
You know what's happening? When you get somebody, a caller like that, and you got somebody saying that they want Barack Obama to react, you get what you get from the caller, the last caller, you get the angry black guy. What's happening is we're fighting over the last piece of bread left in the bag, okay? We've lost the Supreme Court 5-4, okay? You want to talk about wasting your vote? If you don't vote the next time, we'll get a Supreme Court that's 6-3.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what we're fighting for right now.
Absolutely.
Okay? And progressives need to understand that. Okay? This is driving me insane
yep.
right now.
You and me both. Okay? You and me both, Brian. I gotcha. There's only one thing to do now, and that is eat furniture polish. Alan in San Jose, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, actually, when I was a kid, I thought it smelled really good, and I did try some.
It was lemony. Was it Lemon Pledge your favorite?
It smelled good, but it did not taste like
lemon. No, it did not.
That's shocking. I'm amazed. The previous caller was exactly right, though. This is trying to pay for 500 Congress people is really expensive. Trying to pay for 100 senators, also expensive. Getting somebody on the Supreme Court permanently is a much better investment if you're corporate America, and that's what all these elections are about, kids. Mm-hmm.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I have two quick comments.
Yeah.
The caller does need to calm down, but the devil is in the details. And when Obama stands there and promises that we will not make this, we will have shared sacrifice and not on the backs of the least vulnerable, and then the Gang of
Most vulnerable.
Puts forward a proposal that actually is completely on the backs of the most vulnerable, and he says that's a good start, people have this knee-jerk hyperbolic reaction. So everyone needs to calm down, but they need to contact their own Congress critters and say, which is what I did this morning. I called all my people.
Yep.
On the other hand, the Republicans, their goal is to make Lemon Pledge a food group.
That's true.
Well, the president yesterday.
The problem we have now is we're in the 11th hour, and we don't have a lot more time left.
Yeah, which is what they always do, right? The same play every time.
And this is, I remember all was lost the last two summers when we got near August. Remember last year and the year before? The whole thing is falling apart. There's no way any of this is going to work. And then in September.
Boy. A bipartisan group of senators offered an ambitious plan. I know. It's not everything that we want. Oh, with 2 weeks left for the federal government, before we run out of money, to pay all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of...
Well, bills
roof before
smells.
And,
our credit rating goes into the toilet.
Yes.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And that affects the ability to borrow money.
Somebody brought up that we did once under Carter very briefly, and interest rate. It was only a day before they solved it. Interest rates shot way up.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know about you. That hits me immediately. You know, anybody with a home loan with any kind of loan.
Right.
So it is very serious. All right. So we have lots more to get to. We have more of the Rupert Murdoch hearings. And his ninja wife.
Mm-hmm. I gotta watch out. If you look at a belt buckle, it turn it to the right, and the star actually can be removed and used as a weapon.
I hope Irma Thurman comes in today. Oh, all right,
you should see a wet wrestler, wallaby.
All right. And we check in with Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky next on the debt ceiling talks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll thank you. Check my baby.
Stephanie Miller.
Is it cold in here? Or is it just that I'm not wearing any underwear?
What was that from?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm renting it. Is it on Netflix streaming? That's all I care about.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number toll free from anywhere. John Boner yesterday on the Cut, Cap, and Crap. What's it called? Cut, what is it?
Crap and cut.
Cut, cap, and balance
crap,
plan.
Slash and
sure, burn. Deny.
I'm not going to give up hope on cut, cap, and balance. But I do think it's responsible for us to look at what plan B would look like. And the leadership had a long conversation yesterday about Plan B.
Or as I call it, Plan Bourbon.
Yeah. Right. B is for bourbon.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Plan B is my Plan A.
Hey, speaking of great things from Kentucky, Representative John Yarmuth joins us now.
Yay.
That's a segue. What a segue.
Yeah. Thank you, Queen Segue.
All right. Segue.
I'm into Plan B all the time. And bourbon, yes.
I mean, let's just start with this thing. I mean, this is even more radical than Paul Ryan's plan. It's a 25% cut in every government program. I mean, this is not going to pass. It cutting spending so deep it will reduce the federal budget to a level that it was at in 1966. I mean, no president in 50 years has even proposed a budget with spending that low. What are they doing with that?
Well, they're trying to make a statement. That's really all it was. They were trying to give their Tea Party members something to vote for that they could take back home, because it is crazy. I mean, even under the Reagan administration, spending never got to less than, I think, 21% of the economy. And I made a floor speech yesterday saying it'd be nice to go back to 1966 in some respects when gas was 25 cents a gallon. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't think seniors are going to be able to pay 25 cents. Meanwhile, their Social Security, the cost of living is going up. And if you were to take all spending back to those levels, you're talking about, draconian cuts
and taxes,
horribly destructive impact.
And Congressman, taxes are at their lowest level in how many years as well?
Exactly. It's 60 years as a percentage of the economy and personal income and virtually every other measure.
Yeah. I mean, this must get incredibly frustrating. I know you were pretty passionate on the floor yesterday. Tell us what you were talking about.
Well, that's what I was talking about, the idea that this kind of proposal would by necessity mean that you're punishing the very people who have suffered the most over the last 10 years or so. You're punishing seniors, you're punishing middle and low-income people, and you're doing everything essentially to preserve these special benefits for the wealthiest Americans. And
I know
it's just insane.
Yeah. I know that you actually, what's the word? I wouldn't say congratulated, but actually thank your colleague Mitch McConnell for at least trying to have some sort of, plan to stop the United States from, starting a worldwide financial catastrophe, right?
Well, exactly. We were on the same plane going back to Kentucky on Friday, and I said, thanks for at least trying, because a lot of your colleagues aren't trying.
Yeah.
they've got their head in the sand. I mean, it's just bizarre to hear some of these people. I call them tragically ignorant when I hear them on television saying that this really isn't a crisis, that nothing bad will happen. I said, this is true. That's as scary as the prospect that we face on August 3rd, the scariness that these people actually are influencing the debate.
Right. I mean, Daryl Issa just came out yesterday, and he's obviously the big head of a committee, and he said it's an artificial date Obama's using to try to extort a deal from Congress.
It is sort of artificial. It's not set in the law anywhere. It just happens to be the date at which we can't borrow any more money.
I mean, that's the thing, Congressman. You hear it in right-wing radio, you expect that the deadline's then so Obama can celebrate Ramadan or have celebrities come to his birthday party or something ridiculous. But, Daryl Issa is chairman of the House Oversight Committee saying this isn't a real deadline.
It is truly frightening. And when President Obama said that he couldn't guarantee, in response to a question, by the way, that he could not guarantee Social Security checks going out on August 3rd, he was being absolutely accurate, because the only way he can write a check, or the federal government can write a check, is if money's coming in. And there's no guarantee that money's coming in on August 3rd, because we will not be able to borrow the first dollar after August 2nd if we don't avoid this default crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of so Bill Clinton said he wouldn't hesitate to raise the debt ceiling without congressional approval. Of course, obviously, President Obama's been trying to avoid. He said he would invoke the constitutional option without hesitation and force the courts to stop him if Congress and the White House fail to reach an agreement. He cites the 14th Amendment. Obviously, some other legal scholars are disputing this. What's your take on that?
Well, I think and I've heard some interesting debates on it, and I think the president could and probably should exercise his emergency power to save the country.
Right.
if
Bill Clinton
that's the last resort. And again, I there's no reason he should be talking about that, but clearly he has that option in his back pocket, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up using it.
Well, I mean, President Clinton made a good point. He said, you can't say, well, we won the last election and didn't vote for some of that stuff. We're going to throw the whole country's credit into arrears. I mean, and it looks to me like the CBS News poll, 71% of Americans agree with him, say they don't approve of the Republicans' handling of this crisis.
Well, exactly right. And I've sensed over the last few weeks, and I've said this to my colleagues and others, that the public was changing very quickly on this because they were getting a much better sense of what it meant, the impact on them. And they were hearing from a variety of people on all sides of the political spectrum about how serious this is. So the president's in a good spot politically, certainly with the public. The Republicans are looking like the stubborn ones and the ideologically rigid people they are. So I think he's in a great spot, and I think he would be supported if he had to pull that last rabbit out of his hat.
I'll say me too. Well, Congressman, we always appreciate you checking in with us on where things are happening. We appreciate your passion on the floor and on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks, Stephanie. I'm heading back, well, not until 5 o'clock to Plan B.
All right. Thank you, Representative. There he goes.
All right.
Plan Bourbon in Kentucky.
Yes. Ancient Age. I'm originally from Kentucky.
I know you are.
And I used to drive by those plants on the way to high school when I got bussed into the city in a middle school.
Is that why you don't drink to this day?
Huge reason why. On the school bus.
It's
like people who drive through Stockton past Kauschwitz and don't eat beef anymore. Yeah. You know, it's the same.
Eric in D.C. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Steph and guys. First of all, real quick, just come to D.C., please, when you can, with the liberal show. Just a plug for D.C.
Okay.
I wanted to go back to the guy who called in, the angry black guy, as you said, and he was a little bit off, and I do give the president a lot of credit for the things he's done, don't ask, don't tell.
The consensus in the chat room is it might have been a paid caller. That tends to happen. Hello, I am an angry black man that hates the president.
Well, I'm a bit of an angry white man because this Gang of Six plan reduces the top individual rate again
to 29%.
And, you know, they're talking about nefarious cuts in Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And, you know, again, it's this equitable thing about, you know, giving the rich more and taking away from poor, elderly, children, things like that. And the president just simply is capitulating way too much, and he continues to do that on this issue. I agree on many other issues. Don't ask, don't tell. A lot of things, he's done great work.
Right, but Eric, we're not there yet. I think, as Hal pointed out, you know, we have had this happen. There's a lot of screaming on both sides, you know, last summer when the government was going to shut down. And, you know, I only would urge calm until we get there and see what the deal is.
He hasn't agreed on this plan. He's basically saying it's good that they came to he congratulated them essentially for coming to some kind of agreement. He's not saying that that's what he wants,
but
nor is that what
is
we,
that
will be the plan that actually makes it to the floor, because the rest of, just because they put that together doesn't mean the other senators don't have a say.
I think
on the Republicans level, that's the problem. We're using their argument. We're not talking about jobs, and
right,
that's
but
problem.
I think Hal is making a point, whether it's on Gitmo, even on health care, all of us, I'm sure, that are talking right now would have preferred the public option. But you tell me how you would have gotten that done, because you remember even those conservative Democrats were blocking that.
Here's the thing, in 2010 this was the lesson learned. Like, people do the carryaway lesson from 2010 was that progressives are notoriously unreliable. That's what they came away with, and that's what they come away with almost three elections in a row, including Kerry and Gore in the last ones. Here's the thing. If you look at what's finally written, I think then we'll have a conversation about this. But at a certain point, this is what the Gang of Six is putting together. All other senators will have a say in it. This is where it becomes very important to focus on your representative and make sure that they don't let that stuff pass, because that's not the end of this deal, which is probably why he'll have to invoke the 14th Amendment, at least temporarily.
Yep. William in Florida. Hi, William.
Hello, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I am okay. Here's the deal: is this guy that called in? Okay. Believe it or not, I'm an African American person as well. Barack Obama was not my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Who
was your first choice?
Dennis Kucinich.
Okay.
And then anyone of the third party, or, you know, because I don't too much get into the Democrat, Republican, but anyway, make a long story short.
Mm-hmm.
So Barack Obama has sized up a lot of stuff that I think he just could have knocked out of the park, but he didn't. But like, the one thing...
Such as?
He could have wrapped himself up in the flag about the mosque at Ground Zero. And that would have been... I mean,
would that have harmed the effort or helped it?
That would have helped him. It would have helped the Democrats, all the Democrats who were trying to get reelected. It would have helped. It
really?
It would have helped.
You think that's the main issue people voted on? Is the?
Well, no. I mean, honesty, if he had come, you know, he said outwardly, he made a statement saying we have religious plurality in this country. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to build that community center at Ground Zero. And he came out in support of it. I don't know how much further he needed to go, but ultimately. What little he did say was used as fodder and ended up motivating right-wing voters more than it motivated progressives.
I have gone on record, though, saying we should have shot Bin Laden in the left eye.
Right. Just to make a... How do you know we didn't?
Because.
Okay.
All right, and that's something he did wrong. 45 minutes after the hour.
He signed an executive order to shoot him in the left eye, but it was, you know,
okay.
Petraeus getting in the way again.
45 minutes
that's a joke,
after the hour.
Not
joke,
on any
joke. Right. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Great to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my name. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is. That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Representative Sandra Levin. Levin of Michigan. And comedian Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, joins us next hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. I love it. You will too. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. All right. Hal Sparks is packing up his little Ustream.
I know.
He's
got
to go to Austin in the top of the hour here.
Yes.
But we will have Hal Sparks next Wednesday for one more Wednesday before he goes to Edinburgh for August.
And then in September.
Whammy.
It's still in my contract that I'm able to do the show on Wednesdays, but my Disney Channel show, Lab Rats, starts filming.
Yay!
Second week of September, we start filming. So we'll
What is it?
I play like a Tony Stark type character who genetically creates three cyborg kids in his lab, and when he gets remarried, she has a kid, and he goes down into the lab and finds them, and they become friends, and the kids, and then she makes me raise them like real children. So
it's the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Story.
It's
that doesn't scan well.
It's like a cross between Different Strokes and Cyborg Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's very closely tied.
Awesome.
But no, it's actually pretty terrific. I went in on 5 pilots this year and went back and forth on them, and this was the only one that was funny. And it's really well done. The guys who... Yeah. So I have a new series starting in September on the Disney Channel.
He put it in his contract, but he still gets to be with
Stephanie Miller
every Wednesday.
That's right.
Yay!
So we'll still be streaming and whatnot. It's a show.
Oh, fabulous. Speaking of shows, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Mark Stein in for Limbaugh, that guy.
Why do you think every one of these cable networks, American cable networks, is showing live coverage of a House of Commons committee meeting? The House of Commons, last time I checked, is not in the United States.
Yeah.
Why are they showing live coverage of a House of Commons committee meeting about phone hacking at a Fleet Street tabloid that 98% of Americans have never heard of? Why do you think they're showing this? Because they smell blood.
Ooh.
Maybe we can get the big guy himself. Maybe we can knock off Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, I know.
This.
I know.
That's what it's about, folks.
Can I take this? I got this.
Yeah.
Because
why?
Republican Congressman Peter King, among others, have called for investigation in the U.S. because they hacked 9/11 victims' phones as well, you see, so it's not just in Britain, but nice try.
So it is pertinent.
Well, so why would that have anything at all to do with... Oh, crap.
I think I speak for most Americans when I say...
As an American, I'm appalled, frankly.
Yeah. I'm not amused by this.
Why do Americans feel the need to pay attention to what's going on across the pond?
It's not American to pay attention to things
that... I believe that is un-American, actually.
One would like to see what one's subjects are doing on whatever side of the pond one's subjects are at.
24/7.
I'm not a member of the citizenry. I'm from Australia. No. My relative was dumped there on a prison boat.
Joe Kernan on CNNBC's
Back on a prison boat.
Squawk box.
Liberals think that just the way that Fox News presents news, they think that that should be prosecuted. They think that that is against the law.
Sure.
That, because they don't think it's fair and balanced. They actually think it's propaganda when
mainstream media is
propaganda on the other side.
We just call it...
Who has ever said Fox News needs to be prosecuted?
What? Yeah.
It's not news. It's Fox Opinion Network.
Yes.
That's all.
And in full disclosure, I would like to say that there are certain times when Glenn Beck has fomented violence.
Yes,
against
and Bill O'Reilly.
Beyond.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah. I would
that part. Yes,
but that's not propaganda. That's yelling fire at a crowded theater, and you know what I mean. Ready, aim, fire at a crowded theater house. But that's not. The regular propaganda crap machinery is something we are criticizing. That's not the same as denial of rights.
Right.
And they always get that confused on the right.
We mentioned earlier, it's the way they even reported the Murdoch scandal. The Chyron just had Murdoch talking points as if this was a story.
If you question the crap that comes out of me, then you're denying my right to be full of crap.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way.
All right, Glenn Beck on the radio.
Say that we all should fall to our knees and pray that stops because... That is the parent company of Fox News Channel, and
I mean, there's no one is, with the exception of crazy liberals here in America who are trying to point fingers at
they
Fox
will,
News. They will.
They
try
will.
That,
they'll
course.
Use
they'll
everything they can.
None of this has anything to do with Fox News. You're talking about British newspapers. They just happen to be owned by the same company, Fox News.
Pray that is so. And that they are thwarted.
Pray for thwarting. Oh, Jehovah God.
Oh, Jehovah God. We pray that you thwart the liberals, Jehovah God.
The day is at hand.
The day
we are
is
in the last
in
day.
Way.
The last days of the Glenn
Jehovah
Beck program
God.
On radio. Jesus, could you do me a favor? Intercede and step between me and the ramifications and consequences of my sinful behavior.
She's kind of religious right now at this point, isn't she?
Yeah.
Jehovah God. Can I win?
Okay,
Allison Camerota, Fox and Friends.
It's a balanced budget amendment.
That's the third part. That's the third.
Okay, but the point is that for the next 10 years, Congress would have to balance the budget. It makes sense.
Boo-hoo.
It makes perfect sense, but Democrats don't like this and say that they're not going to vote for it. In fact, the president says that he's going to veto it, basically maybe because it's a Republican idea or maybe because they think that it would tie their hands and they wouldn't be able to have the latitude in spending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
like
why Bill Clinton hated the balanced budget. Wait a minute.
Right.
Boo-hoo.
It might be.
Boo-hoo. Grandma's going to die.
Whatever.
You do know they don't actually need a balanced budget amendment. To actually balance the budget, if they present a balanced budget,
that's another idea.
And
if
it's sensible.
You tax rich people, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll balance itself out pretty easy.
Mm. Bill O'Reilly, economic expert.
On one side, President Obama and the Democratic Party want America to become an entitlement state that compels social justice, financially supporting Americans who can or won't support themselves. Mm. On the other side, Republicans want a lean, mean economic machine.
Ah.
Oh, I see. Accent on the mean, because the way he
really
blew
mean.
Past that word can't is the most indicative thing of Bill O'Reilly's character. Guess what? Poor kid, it's your fault. You were dumb enough to be born to parents without money.
Yeah.
It is your fault. If you wake up 8 years old and your belly starts grumbling, it's because you're lazy, according to Bill O'Reilly, and you deserve no help unless your local church can feed,
breast
clothe,
milk
and
is
educate
an entitlement,
you for decades.
We need to wean you off of that immediately.
Yeah. Can't is
right.
the big word.
Health
mean
Sparks.
Is also an effective word.
We
all
love
right.
you. Health Bye. Sparks gotta go. We got the Kathleen Madigan coming up. Don't go away. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the hilarious comedian Kathleen Madigan, one of our personal favorites, joining us in just a bit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Aisha Tyler joining the tour in August. Get your tickets now for Santa Fe and Detroit. Tickets almost gone. All those places. Yay! And then we the tour rolls on in the fall, so check out SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook for all the upcoming dates. All right. Senator Harry Reid on the debt thing.
We believe in taking a balanced approach that cuts spending while closing taxpayer loopholes. We also believe in compromise, especially when our entire economy hangs in the balance.
Yeah, and what is it? What polls show 71% of Americans want that, too. The Republicans, however, as represented by Republican Joe, I don't even know this
Jose
guy.
Jose Scalise.
Yes.
And the president, I think, has shown that he's not serious about addressing the problem of out-of-control spending.
Wow.
Okay.
That's not true.
Let's check in with the real deal. Representative Sander Levin, ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee, who is in the thick of it. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Glad to be with you.
So decipher this for us, us lay people. What's actually going on in Washington with all this?
Well, essentially, we've hit a stubborn kind of a stone wall with House Republicans, as evidenced yesterday. They say, don't touch revenues. Don't close tax loopholes. Don't touch the higher income tax rates. What they're saying is cut spending, that's the answer, nothing else. And when you look at what they want to cut, for example, end Medicare, the American public realizes how stubborn and just determined they are to bring the house down if necessary, bring the economy down.
Are you at all heartened by these polls I was just mentioning, that at least, you know, the American people seem to get what's going on and don't approve of the Republicans' handling of it?
Yes, I was just reading the Washington Post, and it says more than three-quarters of Americans say the Republican leadership is too adverse to compromise. That's what Harry Reid was talking about.
That's right.
And this is most important, I think. Even among Republicans, 58% see the GOP as too resistant to a deal. That's really what's going on here. They are adamant, and they came up with a constitutional amendment proposal yesterday that had all kinds of supermajority votes to do anything. And so where are we? I think more and more the public is catching on to Republican radical resistance.
Congressman, what is your take on this, the president having to use his constitutional authority to just go around Congress to do this if the Republicans take us to the brink here?
That's really not the answer. It hasn't happened. It's questionable whether it could be used. But the president has been saying to everybody here, stand up and be counted on the side of action. And just the thought that we could go through this, it's so extended, and not take action and have all the adverse consequences on the financial structure of this country and indeed globally. You know, we worry about what's happening in Greece and the need for them to act. And the ramifications if they don't. Think what would happen if this huge economy of ours was allowed to just go into disarray.
Well, and your colleague, Representative Jose Serrano, take a listen. Yesterday.
This will not solve our nation's problems, but instead devastate our economy and the most vulnerable in our society.
You know,
Jose's right.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, that's what it just seems so incredible to me that it seems like, you know, last summer we were right down almost to a government shutdown. Like, here we go again. What, I mean, how do you see this one shaking out exactly?
I think in the end we'll act. I think there's a realization among most who don't have their ears plugged and blinders on that we just can't let the full faith and credit of the U.S. essentially be undermined and destroyed even for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how you argue with people that don't even agree that it's a real deadline. I mean, there are people like Daryl Issa that are saying this isn't a real deadline. Nothing's going to happen after August 2nd.
They say, well, it's scare tactics. Well, almost every economist says otherwise. Bernanke says, the Federal Reserve Chair says otherwise. And I don't know. I mean, they're so adamant that they're willing to play with fire. But the sparks are flying. And if Republicans don't provide enough votes, this economy, which is having enough trouble, could tumble further. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it. Sometimes issues are very, very complicated. In this case, there's really no choice but one, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people won't even step up to the plate when the only ball that could be hit is there's just one.
Yep, exactly. Well, Representative, we really appreciate it, particularly in your position on the House Ways and Means Committee, that you update us on what's going on. And I know we'll talk again soon before this is all over.
Let's do it, because the proposal today that came from the so-called Gang of Six at least said revenues have to be considered, closing loopholes. And they also said, and I looked at the material, that Medicare has to be preserved. Now, I hope that's the position now of some Republicans. That hasn't been the position up till now.
Yep.
By the way, where are the proposals on jobs, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. For people that keep screaming.
Ways and Means. Yeah. I've been on the committee all these years, and now these months, the Republicans haven't come up with a single proposal that would create jobs. While they want to essentially allow unemployment benefits for millions of people to be ended.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, not if you have your way. Representative Sandra Levin of the great state of Michigan, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
As always.
All right. Bye. There she goes. All right. What? Huh? Uh-oh. Complaint letter.
What? No.
What?
Oh, boy.
Scott in, yes, thank you. Scott writes, Steph, now you have gone too far. You once again brought up that tired old cliche of gay men and show tunes. Okay, true. Marcus Bachman probably does let loose with his favorite Ethel Merman when Michelle's not looking. No, I think she is looking, and that's why the migraines. We're just saying. Larry Keg Craig probably has been known to tap his foot to a rousing rendition of Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair. But not all show tune singing aficionados are gay. I was a musical theater actor in my 20s and 30s. Hi, Jim Ward. And as the token straight guy in the touring company of La Cage aux Folles, the gayer show that you were in.
Yikes.
You were in that Princess Di thing. That's not as gay. La Cage aux Folles is the gayest musical ever.
Yeah, it is.
In 1987, La Cage aux Folles. I must take issue with your highly inaccurate portrayal of the stereotypical lover of show tunes as the official show tune loving and singing special effects makeup artist of the Steffi Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it my duty to point this out. My wife of 26 years and I look forward to seeing you at the meet and grope after the show in L.A. here, Oh Sexy Liberal, in October. Now I must get back to preparing for my busy Halloween season, and I'm listening to Wicked while I work. Chris, no smart-ass remarks. Wicked also incredibly gay.
That is pretty gay.
Jim, Chris, and Yankton enjoyed our little skit about what the Bachman household sounds like and whereby the migraines may be. I'm just saying.
June is busting out all over.
Oh, Jehovah, please help. Please, Jehovah.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way. From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Oh, please, baby Jehovah. Please, baby. Okay. But please make more migraine pills. Okay.
I have often walked down the street before.
Maybe that's what
pavement always stay beneath my feet
God,
before.
I've had a headache in my eye.
once am I several stories high.
Maybe that's what gave Michelle Bachmann her
chutzpah. Exactly. Oh, God. All right. Oh, we didn't finish up. Speaking of the gay bashing, Matt Barber in Right Wing World on the Liberty Council radio show.
Yes.
Where can you listen to that fine program?
I think on the internet.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, in their heart of hearts, I think homosexual activists know that you can't have two mommies. You can't have two daddies.
Well, if you can have two moms like this, for example, then you can have three moms or four moms or five moms.
Why not?
Or,
the sky's the limit. I happen to believe that that's the goal of much of the homosexual activist lobby. They don't want the white picket fence. They want access to the white picket fence so that they can burn it down.
What?
We're white picket fence burners.
Yeah.
That's the... Wow. Awesome.
Although Marcus Bachmann is so flaming, he could set the stance on fire.
No!
Hey! Louise Ward, come on now.
I don't want to set the fence on fire.
And might I...
Jehovah, please, can you make a fair container of migraine pills?
And might I add that not all gay people like show tunes.
That's
either.
True.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying, I bet Jello Biafra probably is not a big
How fan. Handy did this prop come in today?
Yes. Glad you brought your meds.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Thurgood in Chicago, who's been holding such a long time. Hello, Thurgood.
Hi. I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you.
I am a black man, but I am not angry, and I'm a President Obama supporter.
Okay.
In regard... You know, it's been a while since my first year of law school in constitutional law, but it's my recollection we elected a president and not a king. And my point is that he just can't simply wave his wand and undo the worst recession since the Great Depression and two wars that he inherited. And, you know, I profile a lot of the people who critique him at this point, did not vote in the midterm, did not raise money, did not organize, but yet somehow magically, he's supposed to undo these challenges. You quoted this notion that of the lean, mean fighting machine, Bill O'Reilly's comment, that that's their vision for our country. But the reality...
Emphasis on mean.
Surely. For the last 40 years, we've exported jobs and capital abroad in this country with the blessing, with NAFTA gave tax credit to export capital and jobs abroad. So what does this tell you? That business and businesses bought the media, bought our politicians, and somehow, again, Obama is to undo this trend, the deterioration
overnight
of our standard of living.
Yep, absolutely. All right, honey, I got a break here. 18 minutes after the hour, holy dooly, we have some more Murdoch testimony.
What?
And Celebrity Stack and comedian Kathleen Madigan all coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Said you want to walk me home from school. Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me like I want to be loved by you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Karen in Madison on the debt ceiling. Hello, Karen.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
And I wanted to add to the debt ceiling discussion. There's a proposal that maybe could resolve some of the grief going on, and that is by declaring the debt ceiling unconstitutional and do it by legislation by the Congress, the White House could continue to pay our bills by borrowing more money, and the Tea Party backed Republicans would be in the difficult position of arguing against the plain wording of the law or the Constitution, which is their big thing. Obviously, we'd have the debt left over to deal with, but we could do that after the crises of this deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And
the only one that's making it a crisis is the Republicans. You know, this is the first time ever. I mean, they, you know, how many? What was it, Jim? 7 times they voted under Bush to raise it.
Yes.
Never even a blip on
right.
the news.
I think it
screen.
May have been 8 times actually.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, howdy dooly, it's Rupert Murdoch from yesterday.
To say that we're hands off is wrong. I work a 10 or 12 hour day.
Oh, no.
And
is that legal?
I cannot tell you the multitude of issues that I have to handle every day.
I do evil things, more evil things before 9 o'clock.
6 a.m.
Most people do all day.
So was he hands off or hands on? You know, you can't really.
But you'd think
have
if you were hands on, you'd know about the phone hacking
on,
and the flavor,
exactly.
etc.
Mm. One hand didn't know what the other hand was doing.
Mm. Well, then that's not a tightly run organization now, is it?
Sure it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Shut up. You shut up.
Let me finish the conversation with my other personality first.
Yeah.
The British MP and Murdoch yesterday.
Mr. Murdoch, do you accept that ultimately you are responsible for this whole fiasco?
No.
No.
You're not responsible. Who is responsible?
The people that I trusted to run it, and then maybe the people they trusted.
Those people.
I worked with Mr. Hinton for 52 years, and I would trust him with my life.
People, and then the other people, and the people in the purple crayons,
people who need people.
And the green kitchen, and the other people that presumably trusted the people that I didn't trust. But
in a win.
Wendy, can you hit him? Is she just going to start hitting anybody that
puts
me to
near him?
All right, listen, back off, biatch. James Murdoch, his son. Yesterday.
What happened at the News of the World was wrong.
Oh, okay.
We and I have apologized profusely and unreservedly for that.
Oh, all right. Well, then nothing more to see here.
So
Jim, move along.
We're done, right?
So we can go.
It's an all odd odd accent his son has.
Yeah, sort of mid-Atlantic.
Well, he's got a half British, half American citizenship.
He
born
talks to his dad. He says,
yeah, he was born in America.
Shonkyoka.
This is the Rebecca Brooks, the former News of the World editor. This is the passive voice, right, Jim? Things went wrong somehow.
Things happened
in the thing that I ran.
Things went badly wrong at the News of the World, and we are doing our best now to sort it out.
And if the stakes were made somehow.
And
kind of dimwit ran this
thing. Sorting out is being done.
My friend Jess said she looked like a coked up Susan Sarandon with a bad weave.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, boy. Our buddy Eric Bowler writes a great piece. While British polls denounce Murdoch, his Fox-connected friends play defense. Suddenly open season on Murdoch, according to the L.A. Times. With politicians once too afraid to criticize him now lining up, not so much in the conservative American circles, obviously, where Murdoch's media holdings still hold enormous sway, where his political friends and beneficiaries willing to stand by him. There have been, obviously, bipartisan calls, as I mentioned, by Peter King, among others, to investigate. How do you? They hacked 9/11 victims' phones. How is that not something that has to do with America? Anyway, Eric writes ties to prominent figures with close ties to Fox News have done their best in recent days to downplay the significance of the News Corp crisis. Why are they even asking these people? Rudy Giuliani? He's been Fox News. That was like a 24/7 Giuliani commercial
right,
when he was running. Yeah, he said, "Give people the presumption of innocence."
Yes.
That's despicable.
I'm less concerned about his ties with Fox News than I am with his ties to the New York Post.
New York Post is a great newspaper.
The
yeah.
former mayor said he's an honorable, honest man.
Very honorable.
This can't be
well,
something he'd have anything to do with.
He's more honorable than Bernie Kerik.
By the way, Giuliani's law firm cashed $100,000 in News Corp lobbying fees in 2005.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
John Kasich. Oh! Former Fox employee said, they've not been touched by this, they've told me. And, you know, Murdoch's fired people. Wait a minute. As Bowler writes, he didn't fire people. In fact, he refused to take her, her name, the coked up Susan Sarandon with a bad weave. He wouldn't take her resignation.
Rebecca Brooks finally refused.
Yeah. And then on Meet the Press, in the loving hands of Kasich, it becomes Murdoch's fired people, and nobody questions that, of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
News Corp wrote a $1 million check to the Republican Governors Association because of Murdoch's friendship with Kasich. The RGA paid for 3,000 ads worth more than $1 million attacking Kasich's Democratic opponent.
Marcus said we had nothing to do with America.
Jim DeMint on Meet the Press said, David, we need to let law enforcement work here. Congress has got a big issue in front of us. Apparently, Congress too busy to find out whether a U.S.-based media conglomerate has morphed into a criminal enterprise as portions of News Corp appear to have done in Britain. They're just too busy for that.
Yeah.
Jim DeMint and the little junior DeMints in Congress.
Now, with Watson.
And Fox News has had, yes, thank you, DeMint on 10 times, showered him with hours of free airtime. Yep. I mean, it's all, and then these are the people they're having on. Do you think this is any big deal? No.
Computer says no.
No, I don't. All right, well, that's our coverage. Fox News. I mean, it's unbelievable. All right.
A completely unbiased view.
Thank God Piers Morgan says he's not involved in this, because that's more bad news for CNN. Another primetime host gets arrested and thrown in jail.
He says he's not involved in it.
Well, we'll just have to trust him.
Trust him,
like,
won't we?
He might get Parker Spitzer soon. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Kathleen Madigan on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's totally hot and really fun, but she has a dead tooth.
I thought you had that fixed.
Yeah, tetracycline. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for the great fangs. All right, not that I'm bitter or anything.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
Well, Laura has sent me some, someone bitchier than I am. Because I've been traveling quite a bit and a little cranky, well, with Screaming Baby Airlines and Chatty Toddler Airlines.
Mm-hmm. And Big Fat White Guy Airlines.
Someone sent me this blog from someone named Laura. If you're one of those holes who decided procreation was a smart idea, don't be an even bigger hole and let your kid ruin everybody's time. We're all shoved in a tiny German trench capsule. Don't make it worse by letting your kid run around, scream, or generally have its presence known. Benadryl that monster and make it sleep.
Yeah, I agree.
Not that, did she?
No, I am.
Also, her next post, don't be a bitch. Complaining about delays doesn't make happen faster. It's called life. Bitching about it doesn't fix it. We know your time is more valuable than anybody else's on Earth, but just because you didn't plan with some foresight doesn't mean we can just make change. Deal with it.
All right. Wow.
Nice. See, I just bitch when I get home on the radio. I'm too much of a polite Catholic girl to say anything on the plane. I just sit there and suffer. All right. Speaking of funny people on planes all the time, Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, joins us live on the phone. Hello, Kathleen.
Good morning. I'm leaving for Nashville on one of those crazy flights in an hour.
But
instead of drugging the children, I choose to drug myself, and then I don't hear the children.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you and I are both like those Catholic girls. I actually don't say anything to people on the plane. I just sit there and, you know.
Stew.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm totally Midwest polite, but I'm thinking of 18 different ways to kill the child. But I don't say anything out loud. Who was that actress who just said something to Octomom? We talked about it on Joy Behar.
Kristen Johnson.
Kristen Johnson from Third Rock from the Sun. Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, well, how did NBC pay for all those business class flights? I've done 5 million shows on NBC. Nobody ever gave me business class.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, Octomom's so broke, you could have put her on Greyhound and she'd have shown up.
By the way, did you see this? So In Touch published an interview with her where she was quoted as saying she hates her... her babies, and they completely gross her out. So she denies the interview ever took place. So TMZ gets hold of audio from the interview, and there is a correction. She says she didn't say her babies disgust her. She says that all babies disgust her. She said, whenever I hear a baby cry, I cringe. I don't like babies. I'm absolutely disgusted by babies. They make me sick. I don't even want to look at them. I have to look away.
Oh, my God. She was on... Oprah the other day.
Yeah.
And it was Susie Orman and Oprah, and they were speaking to her as if she's like this coherent, rational adult. And like Susie Orman was actually quite funny, not meaning to be. She's like, everyone already hates you. Let's just accept that and move on. And Oprah was like appalled. But they're trying to give her financial advice and it's spiritual advice. And meanwhile, she's just like looking under her chair for a prize.
I thought this was the favorite thing show.
What's happening? What do I get for free today? Do you have a DVD player I can have?
You get a baby and you get a baby.
And you get a baby. And you get a baby.
Yeah. What is wrong? In what normal world would... I actually really like Susie Orman, but if you're Susie or Oprah, why would you think speaking to this woman who's already created this mess,
yes,
there's not going to be any progress? Just give her a free pair of Ugg boots.
A pair of Uggs will make it all better.
Yes.
So now... Two things you and I do a lot of course, drinking and flying. However, we're not the one flying the plane or the air controller. Did you hear the latest story? A Denver air controller was drunk.
Yeah.
And is in rehab now.
Well, especially the Denver airport, which I've never understood because the whole roof is white. And I'm like, is your goal to camouflage the airport in a snowstorm to make this more challenging? Like, are pilots so bored? And maybe they're bored. Or clearly it's not that difficult of a job. Yeah.
And let's not turn on the runway lights. That's exactly what they'll be expecting. If he's a good pilot, he'll find it.
We're the only airport within miles. If he can't see us, he's just awful.
We're the city right here by the bay, for God's sake.
But, you know, they only caught him this time. I mean, how often was he drunk back there? It just makes me wonder, maybe the job really isn't that taxing. Because, I mean, I have some things where I go, okay, like a midnight show on the road, somewhere in the road, if I have a midnight show, in my mind I go, well, I can have a beer because they're drunk.
Exactly.
So you make allowances.
Yeah.
Maybe this can, you know, the guy got bored and thought, well, what's wrong with a cocktail?
And here come the cards and letters from air traffic controllers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm just
saying that man's behavior leads us to think that.
So yeah. I actually had the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money before One Sexy Liberal Show backstage. He goes, you're not going to drink before the show, are you? I was like, Are you kidding? Back off! Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm not going to drink like Ron White, but I'm going to drink.
Sure, I'm going to drink. So, you know, I have no idea. This is the perfect story for the politicians have really no literally idea what they're doing in Washington. So Rand Paul was told that Britney Spears would be in town, and they asked if you could ask her a question, what would it be? And he said, what should we do about the debt crisis? So
fascinating.
Yeah.
I think she'd have an answer.
Well, she's probably the same as always.
Honestly, I think we should just trust our president in every decision that he makes, and we should just support that, you know, and be faithful in what happens.
Although that was George Bush and the unnecessary war. I don't know how she feels about this.
That's such the perfect I can't think answer.
Right.
I think we should just totally trust the president, and I'm just going to sit here and have another Cosmo.
Yeah,
what?
That's like a pageant answer. Well, I think that I don't. Wait. Well, I guess the president knows.
Also in the Iraq.
President also too. In addition,
The debt crisis is too hard. That's why nobody understands it, and we're still obsessed with Casey Anthony because. Debt is too hard.
Yeah.
And because U.S. Americans don't have access to maps.
To maps and things. Iraq. And opposite marriages and things.
Where is Tot Mom? I can still hear Nancy Grace on my television.
Tot Mom.
You must be relieved that Piers Morgan apparently says he is not involved in this Murdoch phone hacking scandal. He gets very touchy about it.
He's very touchy, but Piers has to realize nobody's watching Piers Morgan anyway.
No one would notice if you were arrested and imprisoned.
No, and I think that would probably be the best interview he's had so far, interviewing himself in prison about how he got there.
While enjoying tacos.
I think?
I don't understand CNN. Why would you pick him? Why not give it to Joy Behar? Americans don't get him.
I bet, I bet Larry King is unearthing evidence of phone hacking. And then his chair, his rightful chair will be his again. He will take back that chair.
Phone hacking, hello.
Larry hacked his own phone and confused himself. Hello, it's me. What are you doing? What's going on?
What's with the suspenders?
Speaking of mocking television personalities, have you been watching Al Sharpton at all on MSNBC?
I have not, but I know he's back. I've been a little sidetracked with the Judd's show. I'm sorry. I had to catch up on 6 Judd's episodes because I'm just it makes me embarrassed to be white, but I love it.
For those of us of our vintage, he is Garrett Morris. It is news for the hard of hearing. He just yells in other news.
So why did the president today tell the Republicans that what? What do you mean I have a microphone?
He's Garrett Morris, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he's perfect for my dad. Because my dad's totally deaf. He's like, this guy speaks at a normal volume. Why can't everyone?
Why doesn't everyone yell on TV so I can hear?
You must love Chris Matthews, then.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough!
Wow, Charlie Sheen got a new sitcom. Did you hear? He's doing Anger Management, the adaption of the Jack Nicholson, Adam Sandler film.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, you got to have some really good insurance to rehire that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who's insuring him, but, well, I should call him because I'd probably get a really good rate. I mean, whatever his rate is, wow.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have a network yet, right? But it has a Lionsgate or
Lionsgate
something.
Is distributing it, but it doesn't have a network yet. Yeah.
Well, even them. I mean, you're still, no way. I would rather take the risk on a 600-pound man and see who's going to kick it first.
Exactly. I wonder what's in his rider for the new show. One of the hookers are just written in now and the coke. I don't know.
Yes, it's quite the rider for backstage. You know, somebody's like, what? Really? I got to get 7 hookers? Yeah.
Now, Kathleen,
as
an esteemed comedian, where do you come down on this whole? Are we supposed to mention that Marcus Bachman is clearly a big gay or not?
You know, I hadn't heard his voice until Anderson Cooper played an interview, and I was like,
uh-oh.
I hear Provincetown. I think the Pray Away the Gay, maybe they were working on him, and it worked. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't.
In reverse.
Yeah. It's somehow
maybe it would explain her excruciating headaches that come out of nowhere, where she has to lay down for 3 days because she's realized, uh-oh, I've accidentally pulled Eliza Minnelli. Whoops.
I did it again. Yeah, I mean, that's you're not even sure which part. It really is like a Saturday Night Live skit on crack. You're like, this is a anti-gay Christian small government congresswoman who's married to clearly a gay man doing reparative therapy on gays with government money. It's just you don't even know where to start on all that.
And I don't know how long can this be, like, okay, in Minnesota, maybe people have said stuff, and then who cares, whatever.
They're Minnesota nice, so they don't mention it.
Right, they're Midwest polite. He's a little light in the loafers, you know what I mean?
Don't mention it.
But now that it's on the national stage, I think it's just going to get weirder. I don't think this is the end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
There's another loafer to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Another espadrille.
Another light loafer.
Yeah, there is. And I think that would explain the 25,000 foster people that ran in and out of their house because that's a distraction.
And it's a light
I don't think you can have a nice night of romance when there's 25 strangers running around your house.
And if another light loafer falls in the forest in Minnesota, does it make a sound? We don't know.
It makes a fabulous sound. June is busting out all over.
Oh, God, Marcus. Now that there's not enough migraine pills in the world. All right.
My opening act, Jason Duty, is gay, and now I only refer to him as the barbarian.
Just at the gate of your comedy club. Kathleen Madigan, Gone Madigan is the DVD. Everybody loves it. I just got an email about it this morning.
And you're in Nashville this weekend?
I'm in Nashville this weekend, and then the Nantucket Comedy Festival. If
Sweet.
Anybody happens to just be running around Nantucket, I'll be in a tent with Lewis Black somewhere.
Woo! And it's on KathleenMadigan.com, correct?
Yep.
All right. Honey, love you. Always a pleasure.
I'll see you kids in August.
All right.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Live in studio in August. Yeah. Woo-hoo! Freaking hilarious.
She is a
little. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, back with a little more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad.
Yeah.
I got
Stephanie Miller.
Get it. Mm-hmm. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
For Michelle Bachman, the 3 a.m. phone call would go like this. 1, pick up the phone. 2, throw it against the wall. 3, go back to bed.
That's I guess it's for you again. Someone wants you to meet him at Manhole. Where are my migraines? No,
that barbarian needs to be disciplined immediately.
That was from Christine in Madison.
Thank you, Christine. That's probably true. I think all the girls, she didn't.
Something strikes me.
I have a headache. Who's calling at this hour?
Something about her strikes me as a bit bipolar.
You think so?
A little bit.
A little borderline, perhaps?
Yeah, a little borderline.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
Sorry,
Joe. Been there, dated that.
Damn it, Marcus! Get out of it! What are you doing?
Oh, God. You are Joe, God. You are such a good little dog. Joe, God. Come here.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Yes, you are.
Who's a good little Jehovah dog?
What's this kid? Jehovah dog?
Okay.
Who wants Nana?
Oh, God, I'm having fun. Okay, Javon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, could I get a voice impression of Bruce Lee, you have insulted my family?
You have insulted my family.
There you go.
Okay. What she said the other day was really, really insulting to, like, I believe a lot of black farm people who come from, who have migrated from South, like me. I have an auntie who lived in Arkansas and had a farm, chicken farm, pig farm. And she went out of business. I mean, when I remember as a kid going down there, and I remember the wood and everything, how they would try to fix it. I mean, it looked like a little shanty town, you know, in Africa, something like that, where you just fix things like that. Well, they couldn't get, you know, help to keep that farm, and she lost it. Mm. And she died down there on that farm trying to keep it. And, you know, it was really, when she said that, you know, all the people, there are so many.
Yeah, and yet she's taken government subsidies for everything from her, whatever the first business was, to this ridiculous anti-gay reparative, ridiculous therapy something. All right. Oh, by the way, yeah, I was going to get to this. Roz in Atlanta on that crazy, what's his name, Alan West, Republican of Florida. Hi, Roz.
Oh, gosh, that's exactly what I was going to say. I hope you have Debbie Wasserman Schultz on recently. But this shows how inept the Tea Party Republicans are. This is a junior congressman that doesn't realize that if you make a speech in the House, if you don't want to be talked about behind your back, you stay and listen for the rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, I must confess, when I see anyone with an Obama 2012 bumper sticker, I recognize them as a threat to the gene pool.
Wow.
Oh,
God. Yeah. What idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he had such thin skin that he lambasted Debbie Wasserman Schultz for even criticizing him.
Well, that's just because they're so inept about the way the Congress works.
Yeah.
They don't even have a clue about, you know, you stick around. If
you stick around for the rebuttal.
Yeah.
Yes, they are
going
to say something bad about you if you say something bad about them.
Oh, why? I don't. Why? Jerry in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hi. I just wanted to make a mention that Barack Obama basically is signing a blank check for the Republicans by cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Because I don't care if he was able to tell them, hey, I can cut $10 trillion off in 1 year.
Jerry, we haven't done anything yet. He is,
No, they haven't done anything yet. But what's going to stop the Republicans when the next president gets in there and says, oh, I'm going to borrow $20 trillion because I want to start a war for no reason at all? There's no guarantee. What he's what he's doing is giving them a blank check.
Well, right now it's a bargaining chip.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, as Hal said, we're getting hysterical again before we're okay. Hey, speaking of hysterical, Justin Bieber is going to perform a private concert for David and Victoria Beckham's children.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've agreed to give the boys a private concert at their house if David gives me some private soccer lessons. I'd be happy to do my radio show for your kids in return for, I don't know, is there any celebrities listening? Like Robert Mondavi, maybe? A lifetime of box wine?
Mr. Franzia?
I could do my little radio show for skits for the kids.
Mr. Franzia.
Make some balloon animals for the kids.
Ernest and Giulio Gallo.
I'm happy to share my skills, limited as they are. You know, the kids love the... And they love the...
You're a lying sack of crap.
Our sweet spot
that
is 12
little girl
years old.
Came to the Boston show, for God's sakes. Little lying sack of crap, little girl.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yay. She was trying to bring her in at the end of the show to meet me, and apparently
she
they came in during
the teabagging
demonstration with Hal and I.
Perfect.
Yeah, I turned her back around and go with
that.
That's how Mama's doing gymnastics. Aunt Steffi likes to do gymnastics on stage with Uncle Hal. Don't, you know what?
Steffi and Hal are just playing leapfrog.
That's what they're doing. They're
wrestling.
Yeah. Steffi and Hal like to wrestle on the road. Oh, no, not again. That Betty White. She's officially broken the fragile heart of Sergeant Ray Lewis, the Marine who did one full pull-up in the video, and he asked her to be his date to the Marine Corps ball.
Yeah.
That hoa.
Stood him up.
He said no.
She can't make it. She's working or whatever. Deedless, right, so now a Marine will go to the ball alone, where he'll sit in a darkened corner stroking the corsage he made for Betty White out of Werther's Originals while fighting back lonely tears as the terrorists take to the street carrying victory flags with Betty White's face on them. Nope. Still don't hate her.
Yeah.
You just can't hate Betty White no matter what she does. Oh, Jim, look at the summer house for you.
Mm-hmm.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell selling their Malibu house for $15 million. Or, here's the kicker.
Or?
Don't you love the summer rental prices in Malibu? only $80,000 a month. You can rent that for only $80,000 a month.
Well, I make that much here. So
didn't you once have
a summer rental,
a Malibu beach house?
Yes, you did. And you abandoned it because there were rats.
Yes. I thought, oh, that'll never be worth anything.
Oh, Stephanie.
Oh, dear.
Wow. I mean, how much a month?
It was not 80,000 a month.
I'm sure now you could get 80,000 a month for it.
Now a warning.
Yeah.
I don't make wise decisions.
Yeah,
as
who advised
know.
You to sell that house? Holy cow.
Ted Nugent. The Democratic Party is modern-day slave master to low-income Americans. Isn't he precious? He suggested the Democratic Party is a modern-day slave master to low-income Americans, writing Democrats convinced them that evil, greedy Republicans are the reason they are poor, unemployed, and underemployed.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. And that many are obviously too clueless to see which political party is their modern-day slave master and which one wants to liberate them. He said, when historians look back at this time in history, I recommend they call this era the Great American Taxpayer Fleecing. In that we're paying the lowest taxes since 1950.
He's not big on history.
You are a really
kind of a lunkhead.
A lunkhead,
and
yes.
One of the only lunkheads that's actually given me the finger on not live national television.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for us. Oh, big show tomorrow. Lance Bass is on.
That's right.
David Bender, Carl Frisch.
And Representative Jackie Speier.
Yeah, big show. We'll see you then. I'd like to hear Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.